There are two terms, both of them very esoteric, that we associate with the day of Yom Kippur. One is a term of Tahara, Bnei Hashem Titaru. You can't get it more explicit than that. It's part of the Bitzah Yom, Bnei Hashem Titaru. But Titaru means literally going to the mikveh, what Titaru means, doing vidur, whatever the word Titaru means, different opinions of Rishonim. But Tachlis, there's some kind of aspect of Tahara on Yom Kippur. And of course, there's another aspect of Yom Kippur, of Kedusha. Yom Kippur has Kedusha Sayyoyim, has a very high, intense Kedusha Sayyoyim. Not quite on the same level of Kedusha Sayyoyim Shabbos, unless you believe in Rabbi Chaim ben HaKadosh theory, but different. But it's a Kedusha Sayyoyim. This year it happens to coincide. This year, Rabbi Chaim ben HaKadosh and the Rabbanon are both from the same team. So if you're Maltik is a Gadosh this Shabbos, you're in big trouble. I mean, you're in big trouble in terms of Chayav Misa, but you can get out of paying money. Okay, good, that's true. So there's Kedusha Sayyoyim in Yom Kippur, and there's Tahara that's accomplished in Yom Kippur. And the Torah even puts them together, at least one dimension of the Avodah Sayyom. I don't want to take away too much from the Avodah Sayyom, I know you can talk a little bit about. But V'tiharo v'kidsho mitumos b'nei Yisrael. The Torah speaks about when everything's all done, you finish all the Shikas Adam, you finish the Mizbeah, you did everything already. V'tiharo v'kidsho mitumos, right? Okay, so you accomplish Tahara and you accomplish Kedusha. So what's supposed to be, when Yom Kippur ends, you should have accomplished these two things. You should have accomplished that you transformed yourself somehow from the spirit of Tumah to the spirit of Tahara. And you're supposed to have accomplished somehow going from a state in a sense of Chulin, of Chol, into a state of Kedusha. Those are the two litmus tests, whether you had a successful Yom Kippur. People ask you, how was Yom Kippur? People ask you, how was Rosh Hashanah? That's not a silly question, because it's clearly invited. How can you answer how Rosh Hashanah was? You know next Rosh Hashanah, how last Rosh Hashanah was. And they ask you how Yom Kippur was. So if you could measure properly that you experienced Tahara and Kedusha, then the answer is it was a Kabbalistic. If you don't know how to measure that, so it's better to keep your mouth. What do these terms mean? What exactly, what is this imagery of Tahara and Kedusha that the Torah speaks about? What is supposed to be the thrust of what we're striving for on Yom Kippur? The notion of Tumah v'Tahara, of course, as the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Mikvos, is a classic example of a chok. It's something that the Rambam writes we will never really truly understand. But the Rambam writes, Afal Pichein, we should still try to delve into even the chukim itself, even things which are so difficult for us to really understand the depth. But part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to try to, the Tarkadosh Baruch Hu made the mitzvah in such a way that on the one hand, the chukim, the gzeres ha-melech, on the other hand, we should look at them and try to extract certain lessons from them. Whatever we can relate to, whatever we can relate to, that's part of our understanding of Torah. The Rambam uses almost the identical lashon in the end of Hilchos Mikvos as uses in Hilchos Tshuva about Tkiya Shofar. The Rambam introduces when he introduces the mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar in the middle of Hilchos Tshuva. So the Rambam writes, "Afal pi shetkiya shofar shel gzeres hakosav." Even though blowing shofar is gzeres hakosav, the Rambam is writing a disclaimer. It's really a choik. It really is. We don't know what the reason is. But the Rebbe is Yeshba, you should just know, even though in the real world it's Tacha Achok, but for us, there is a Rebbe's Yeshba, Uyishayim, Mishnaschem, etc. So the Rebbe writes almost the exact same Losh in the end of it, last Ramadan Chuz Mikvos, Afa Pisha, Tum Vatayra, Chukim Heim, Zer Sepulchen, Afa Bichin, Rebbe's Yeshba Dover, and he gives you the whole Rebbe's about Olam, Tum Vatayra, Torah, and Chai, that whole thing. So following the footsteps of the Rambam, that there is something we could relate to in the realm of Tum Vatayra, so just from a simple vantage, but without knowing all of the Taras, there is a certain common denominator in Hilchos Tumah. There's a theme that repeats itself kim'at throughout every scenario of Hilchos Tumah, and that's the notion of life and death. Why is something tummy? The more alive it was, the more when it's no longer alive, it emits Tumah. So the human being is the highest level, Yadam Nefesh Chai, it's the highest level of Chiyus. So when the human being dies, staka avia velsa tumah. Animals were not so alive in the first place, but there was some degree alive, so taka do emit tumah. Tumah is always associated with either literal death, or even if not necessarily literal death, but the death of potential life is also brings on the state of tumah. And thus, even the tumah sayetzel of begufo, the tumah of an ishanida. So an ishanida means that the time in our biological cycle has come where up until that point there was a potential for life. Didn't happen. Brings with it tumas nida. Same is true tumas shechva zera. There was potential life. Didn't happen. brings her the tuma. Kahena v'kahena. Mitzora is also a getter of mace. Anati kameis. Mitzora is like a mace. Again, different story. Other reasons. Even Nishi Yoledes to a certain degree is that up until this point she was housing life. Now it's not there anymore. Baruch Hashem, it's not there now. It's a baby. But Im Kol Zeh, there was a certain chiyus that was taken away. Whenever chiyus disappears, somehow tuma begins to creep. And it's not surprising, again, well, there are haremes, but we follow the footsteps of the Rambam, that the tahara process is also a process of chiyus as well. It's a process of, in a certain sense, bringing back to life, trying to remove that state of nisa, bringing back to life. And what vehicle do you use to bring back to life? So we all know. We all know what the basic component of life has to be. I'm not talking about the carbon atoms. But the basic mahus of life, it has to start with mayim. You know this, the scientists, the guys spend their whole life looking around in Mars, is there life or not? So they never found life in Mars. What are they really looking for? At the end of the day, they're really always looking for what? Water. They're always looking for water. Because the svara, it's a good svara. If there's water, then there's a chance to have life. If she had sveka. If there's water, then maybe there's life. If there's no water, then the understanding is, the way science, that we understand science, it can't be life without water. Water is the prerequisite for life. And it's not so surprising that water is where a person begins their very life. A person's life is, what do you do for the first 9 months? Besides staggering away with the malachim and shemayim, what do? You sit and listen to swishing of amniotic fluid. That's all you do. You sit there and you listen, swish and swish. It's water. It's mamish water. How do we know that it's mamish water? Everybody knows. Everybody knows the famous story, right? What's my favorite story? Next story? Come on, the real monk will have to know this. So there's this thing, there's this phenomenon called... That when a baby, after a baby's born, sometimes after a couple of weeks or so, the baby starts going a little cuckoo. And usually happens to older children also, but they, you know, children get very, you know, they start crying uncontrollably, you know, they have no idea why they're crying. And when the doctors come up, there's a gewaldige new diagnosis. What's it called? Colic. Colic is a pediatrician's way of saying that he has no idea why the baby's crying, but they call it colic. Shon Baruch Hashem, everything else tests out fine. It's colic. So what do you do for a colicky baby? So you can pull the hair out of your head. That's one thing you could do. And the other thing you could do is, there was a whole theory out there, appears in all the do-it-yourself books. The theory is that the baby, after a few weeks, it's like a kid in a new school. He didn't really get used to what's going on. Life is so fundamentally different in the womb than it is outside, and the baby's having trouble adjustment. Everyone has adjustment problems. Even the 3-week-old baby is already having adjustment problems. So what do you do when you want to make somebody adjust well? What do you do? Everybody likes a little taste of home, right? That's the idea. That's what, you know, if somebody feels, you know, they're a stranger somewhere, so if you bring back some of the memories, some of the things, some of you recreate some of the past environments, so somehow that makes the person feel a little bit more home. You gradually get them used to the new stimuli. The baby comes into this world, after 2, 3, 4 weeks or so, it's going nuts. It doesn't sound, doesn't smell, it does no resemblance to being dead to what it was used to. What was it used to? What did the baby do for 9 months? It listened to water and water and water smashing around. That's all it heard. So the theory was, if you take the kid, don't put it into the bathtub, but if you stand and turn on the water in the bathtub and let it run, the baby will listen to the water and it'll start to feel like it's back at home. And it'll slowly but surely, gradually ease its way into this. I kid you not. Okay? So that's the theory. All right? So I tried it with one of my kids for about 6 months. And I only tried it because we live in the Heights then. We'd have to pay the water bills. But I can't say for sure that it worked. But sometimes it worked. Sometimes. Once in a while it would work. And I had I used to have to be makel to learn in the bathroom. I remember I asked my Will the Shiloh once, can I be makel to learn in the bathroom for all those hours? I'm sitting there holding the baby and listening to the bathtub run. So he told me he thought we could rely on the poskim and say that bathrooms are not really bathrooms, so he thought I could learn. I could never ever bring myself to bring the Gemara into the bathroom, but I used to prepare shiur. That year I used to prepare shiur, sitting and listening to the bathtub. So what do you see from this whole story? You see that I'm not going to tell you which of my kids this was, because they would be very upset at me. So water is mamash. Everybody starts out with water. That's what we all start out. The world started out with water. The earth started out with water. Pnei Hamayim. Everything starts out with water. When you want to have a tchiyas ha-meisim, you want to go back to, in a sense, be misake the tumah, so you have to go into a body of water. You have to go into the mikveh, into the mayon. That's where you start all over again. you just experienced Nisa, you have to re-experience Chiyus, you have to re-experience Chayim. That's what the process of Tara is all about. So Tuma is the process of Nisa. Tara, Tzilu B'Mikvah, is the process of Chiyum, of Chiyus. There's a in the famous discussion in the Sefer Kuzari between the Melech HaKuzarim and the Chacham. So the Chacham is asked to explain to the Melech HaKuzarim what differentiates Klai Yisrael from all the other religions in the world. So basically, one of the things that the Melech that the Chacham explains is that all the other major religions, the two major religions of the world that he was addressing, also believe in the truth of Torah mitzvahs. Their religion is just based on they're assuming that the Torah was right, and that could Baruch Hu change his mind. But they all agree to the basics. The Ikra was everybody Kuliyamala pleading that the Torah was true. Now the Machlik, and I think it's the word Machlik is, but the emphasis is that the Torah was true, is true, and will be true. And the other religions started to veer off and start to change everything. So the Melech HaGzarim turns around to the Chacham and he says, it's not just the other religions that change things. You guys change things also. He says, you're not practicing what it says in your own Torah. Your whole claim is that you never change. This is the same Torah. It's not true. You've also changed the Torah. So the Chacham says, where do we change the Torah? So he says, you didn't observe the dinner of Tumah V'Tahara today. If you have a dead mouse, you just get out there. You don't run to the mikvah. You don't have to keep the dinner of Tumah V'Tahara b'zman hazeh. So you're just as guilty as the others. So they did away with Shabbos, and they did away with Kashrus, and you do away with Tumah V'Tahara. You also got rid of half the Torah. This is what Rila Levi putting the words into the discussion. So the Chacham responds back to Melech HaGzarim, no, we haven't changed one iota. The reason why we don't observe Tumah V'Tahara b'zman hazeh is not that we say it doesn't apply. So of course Tumah V'Tahara apply. Of course the dinim is still there. But if you look at the Chumash itself, you'll notice that Tumah V'Tahara, the whole parish of Tumah V'Tahara, only makes sense in the context of Kedusha. When you have Devarim Kedoshim, then you can't be in the state of Tumah. So if you have Karbanos, you can't be Tumah. If you have Truma, you can't be Tumah. If you want to go to be Semikdash, you can't be Tumah. If you want to be Sashana, whenever you have a Dover Kedosh and Tumah cannot live hand in hand. Our problem, says the Chacham to the Melech HaKuzarim, we don't have Devarim Kedoshim anymore. We don't have Truba, Nebuch, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have Kabbalah, we don't have anything. It's not that we don't observe, it's just on hold. It's not relevant to Tumah V'Tahara b'zman hazeh. Not the Chalil we said doesn't apply. The Goyim said Shabbos doesn't apply. The religion changed. All these mitzvahs are thrown out the window. No, Tumah V'Tahara is still there. It's just in limbo. It's waiting for the opportunity for it to come back to reality because we don't have Devarim Kedoshim. And then they got into a side discussion, why do we keep a Chaznida? Not for now. Another story. So what do you see from the answer of the Chacham? Really, the lady's putting to the words of the Chacham, to Melech HaGzarim. What do you see? That the whole parsha of Tumah V'Tahara is linked to Kedusha, fundamentally linked to Kedusha. Why is that? Why is it that Tumah is such a steerer to Kedusha? Why is it that if I want to sit down and have a slice of pizza, I can be Tumah, it doesn't really make a difference. But if I want to eat Devarim Kedoshim, then I can't be in a state of Tumah. Why is that? So the answer is, where did Dvarim Kedoshim come from? Where did Dvarim Kedoshim emanate from? Why is the Beis HaMikdash Kadosh? Why is the Beis HaMikdash Kadosh? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives there. It's the Beis Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of Kedusha. Anything related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kadosh. His house is Kadosh. The Karbanos that were brought for him are Kadosh. And even the Truma that you were Kairi Shem Hashem on, a Truma Hashem, anything that shayach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a degree of Kedusha to it. It is inconceivable to have a relationship with Devarim Kedoshim and be in the state of Tumah. You know why? Why is that impossible? Why is that a stira? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate chai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the true life. Not in the physical, biological sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the true chai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha is the antithesis of death. It's impossible when HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be present in his house, with his truma, with his Maaseh Sheni, with his Karbanos, B'shul Kavaya Kazochu. You're eating at the table of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, eating the food of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you should be in the state of Tumas Aguf, or the food should be in the state of Tumas Atzmai. It's a stira galuya. You want to eat pizza? Kadosh Baruch Hu is not a kaviyachol. You want to eat your own pizza? Chulin gazundei. Go eat it petuma. But you want to eat a Kadosh Baruch Hu's truma? Truma, man, the real stuff. You want to eat truma? It has to be b'kedusha, because whenever Kadosh Baruch Hu is present, there cannot be tuma. You know why? Because tuma is synonymous with death, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is chai. What is it about a Kadosh Baruch Hu that's chai? What is it that's chiyus about a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Why is a Kadosh Baruch Hu the ultimate chai, so to speak? Real chayim is eternal. Real chayim is nitzchiyus. Why is it there's a concept of death? Because we're made up of different parts. We're made up of part of us which is nitzchi, and part of us which is temporary. That's the Bria. That's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he created man, Nasa Adam Etzalmeinu. So man was a combination of different parts. He's a combination of temporary things that come and go, that have a life cycle to them, and they end. And there's a part of man that's eternal. When a person leaves this world, which part of him becomes Tamei? His goof is Tamei. His neshama is not Tamei. A neshama can't become Tamei. A neshama never dies. How can a neshama become Tamei? A goof dies. A goof becomes Tamei. But a neshama never dies. If you want to know what it means to be Tamei, if you want to know what it means to be Mase, you know what that means? The person whose very existence is all revolving around the temporary part of this world, that person is Tachanitan Flamisa. That person is Mitan Tatuma. A person whose essence is the other half of the Neshama, is the divine aspect of the Neshama, not Chalila in that sense of the word, but the part of the Neshama that connects with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If the focus of a person's existence in this world is the nitzchi part, then such a person taka never dies. And that's what Chazal meant when they made those two very strange statements. Chazal say that misosam, then say the rishoyim afilu b'chayim kurumesim. A person's a rasha, even when he's alive, he's dead. What does that mean? His heart's beating, his blood's flowing, his blood breathing. What do you mean afilu b'chayim kurumesim? So the answer is because his whole essence is this. His whole essence is basav adam. His whole life is taivas. His whole life is just the foolishness and the silliness of olam hazeh. So the person's mamish. He's mamish dead. He's a walking dead body. He's mamish dead. Tzadikim afilu b'misasim krim chayim. Was a tzadik. So a tzadik was perfected as the shama in his lifetime. When he passes away, so he sheds his guf for a little while till tchias amesim. But his nitzchias is still there. He hasn't changed at all. A tzaddik has not changed b'misasai. Just as b'chayav, his ikar was his neshama, so liachamisa, it's the same neshama. It hasn't changed. It used to be inside a guf, now it's outside a guf. It's a nafkamina, not such a big nafkamina. The tzaddik is always chay, and the rasha is always this. So Rabbi say, when the Torah tells us on Yom Kippur that we're supposed to accomplish two things, we're supposed to be lifnei Hashem titaru, and it's a day of kedusha v'tiharo v'kitsho mitumos b'nei Yisrael. What's supposed to happen on Yom Kippur is this transformation. We enter into the day of Yom Kippurim with the feeling that we're human beings, and very often the other 353 days of the year, our goof part takes the better of us. And as human beings, so we're walking around as Mason. We're walking around in a world of tuma. We're walking around in a world of non-eternal values and meaning. And comes one day in the year where Kadosh Baruch Hu says, put everything away. Forget everything that Shayach Olam Hazeh. Yom She'asa Be'achila V'Shtiya Tashavita. There's nothing that's going to happen in Yom Kippur that resembles anything of the rest of the year. It's a day that's mufka from everything of the goof. The goof is mamish out. I can't say out to lunch, but out begamri. And now the neshama takes over. At the end of the day of Yom Kippur, if a person really experienced Yom Kippur properly, what really happened was they mamish experience of Tchias HaBesim. They were, for lack of a better term, please don't misquote me, they were born again. They mamish had a new Tchias. Is it surprising that the Avedis Yom Kippurim involves the process of Tara to such an extent the Kohen Gadol can't move without going to the mikvah? The mikvah, the nochem to the 5 times they go to the mikvah. Every 10 minutes, he's running to the mikvah. because the Kohen Gadol is a representative of Klal Yisrael, is re-experience this Tevila B'chaim life. That's what Yom Kippur is. It's a life starting over again. It's mamish, a new beginning, and it's a new beginning because the neshama now takes over. And that's Kedusha. Because when a person experiences that Tahara, that new beginning, now he's free. Once he's Tahar, as the Chacham told him, once you're Tahar, now you can experience Kedusha. Kozman that you were Tameh, Kozman you were Rasha, Kozman you were Shakun Alam Haza, you cannot experience Vitiyah Rav Kitsha Mitumas Bnei Yisrael. You cannot experience the Dveikus Bekadosh Baruch Hu. What really truly happened on Yom Kippurim was a transformation from Misa L'Chaya. When Chazal speak about the Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Meisim, Psuchim Lefanov, it's not just referring to the Gzai Din of the year to come, but it's referring to the essence of what the person is. You have to decide, Kadosh Baruch Hu is judging, what sefer do you belong in? Are you in the Sifrei Chaim? What that means, are you a person whose neshama is ruling the guf? Are you in the Sifrei Meisim, where your guf is ruling the neshama? If you're in the Sifrei Chaim, then you're here forever. You've chosen life forever and ever and ever. If you choose to put yourself in the Sifrei Meisim, so what that means practically is that you chose the foolishness, the fleetingness, the part of your existence that ultimately disappears. It's your choice. It's every person's choice. You can decide whether you want to be in the Sifrei Chaim or the Sifrei Meisim. Totally, completely up to you. It's just a decision which part of your existence really matters. Are you basically fundamentally a neshama, which just right now in this world happens to be housed in a goof? Or are you basically fundamentally a goof that just happens to have a neshama tagging along for good luck? It's totally, completely your choice. But I say, this is a very, very hard decision to make. There's a lot of stress. This is the essence. This is the essence of our challenge at this time of the year. And it's very, very hard to be completely joyful on Yom Kippur when we're experiencing this challenge. When Chazal speak about how our joy is diminished on Yom Kippur, and we can't say Shira on Yom Kippur, so the Gemara says, Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meisim, Suchim, V'temam, Shira, so to speak. Paraphrasing from the Kriyas Yamsuf, you can't say Shira, the Gemara says, when the Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Meisim Psuchim Lefanov. So let's suggest not just the Sifrei Chaim of the Ribbono Shel Olam Psuchim, the Derech Drush. When right now I'm still trying to find out who I am, I really from the Chaim or really not? It's hard. I got a lot of work to do. Now is not the time to sing. Yom Kippur is not the time to sing. I mean, it's a nice time. Chazanim like to sing also. It's also good. But you can't burst out with Shira yet. But that Shira is very soon to come. The Rambam writes in Hilchot Chanukah that you don't say Hal and Roshana and Yom Kippur, paraphrasing the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, because they're not Yemei Simcha Yaseira. The days of Simcha, because Yom Kippur, there is a Roshana and Yom Kippur, but they're not Yemei Simcha Yaseira. The Rambam used that phrase, Simcha Yaseira, in one other place. In the last Rambam, in the end of Hilchot Lulav, the Rambam writes that at the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the Simcha's Beis HaShoeva, there was what? There was a Simcha Yaseira that was practiced where? In the Mikdash. It was a Simcha Yaseira on Sukkos. Rambam borrowed his own phrase. He used the phrase Simcha Yaseira. Chas Chanukah used the same phrase in Chas Lulav. I don't think the Rambam meant this coincidentally. I think the Rambam really meant this intentionally, to conjure up this image that which was lacking on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur now reaches fruition on Sukkos. Because what was lacking on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is that I wasn't really sure whether I'm Chai or not. I wasn't really sure, am I a person of Kedusha V'Tahara? I'm not really sure who I am. And it's hard for me to say Shira. But when I come already to the end of Yom Kippur, and now I come to Sukkot, so now I know exactly who I am. I know that I'm from the Chaim. I know that I've made that conscious decision of Yatam et Veikim Hashem Akeim Chaim Chamayon. I know who I want to be. And there's a tremendous, tremendous celebration in that. And the source of that celebration takes place in two contexts. It takes place in the Mikdash. That's the Rambam's version of that simcha. The simcha yaseir is dafka in the mikdash. Why? Because once you become v'tiharo, then you can become v'kidsho. Then you can enter into the mikdash. You can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chayli oilam. Kozman that you're not sure where you are. Kozman that you are a mace. Kol zman de yotameh, you can't enter the Kadosh Baruch Hu's precincts. But once you've passed the challenge and you've overcome that sofek and you've decided to put yourself in the Sefer Chaim, then you come dafka to the Beis Hamikdash. And what mitzvah do you do? What mitzvah do you do? Where does the spach of Hashem Akechem take place? In what context? The mitzvah of what? Mitzvah of Nisach Hamayim. The only time of the year you take water, and you take the water, and you pour it onto the Mizbech. It's a cell. The water, the mitzvah of Nisach Hamayim, is the re-celebration of life. It's the reconfirmation of the fact that we're starting over again. The same water that you used, almost the same water that Kohen Gadol had to use in Yom Kippur to get him out of the tomb, to get him up the rungs to the tier of a kitcho, now reaches its grand finale of the Yontif of Sukkis. And you celebrate Dafka with a new beginning of life. We could say about this celebration, like we bemoan after we finished the inspiring Avodah in Yom Kippur, so we bemoan, this was beautiful, wonderful, Kozman, there was a Beis HaMikdash, what are we supposed to do now? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, there's no Simchas Beis Shoeva, there's no Nisach HaMayim, there's no Smayim. What are we going to do now? So we got to go back to where we started with that Rambam at the end of Hukos Mikvos. But the Rambam tells us that the water of the mikvah is not just physical water, it's symbolic of something as well. Says the Rambam, just as a person goes into the water of the mikvah, he's toivel b'mei hadas. He's toivel, it is mikvah. This is also mikvah. Masech Ksum, this is also mikvah. Whatever Masech Ksum, we are not living this year. It's also a mikvah. Afresh is truma. Tashlumei truma is all. Kimim Ramane is also a mikvah. And it's a tremendous koyach to be metaher. So perhaps, this is the kavana. Klal Yisrael understood that at the end of the whole period of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot and Nisach HaMayim, the grand finale has got to culminate with Simchas HaTorah. You can't walk away from the days of Tishrei without throwing yourself head first, mamish, your entire body, your entire essence into the Simchas HaTorah. It has to be, because there is no other Mayim, this man has there. There's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Simchas Beishel Eved, there's no Karb, there's nothing. There's only one vehicle that we have left. As we say in the Ilah, Ein lanu shir rak haTorah zos. There's nothing else left. There's no Kohen Gadol, there's no Simchas Beishel Eved. The Torah we still have. So we have to make that conscious decision over the next few days. Are we going to be from those who are B'chayem Nikro Meisim? Are we going to be from those who are always Kurim Chayim? Are we going to dedicate ourselves and our best way to do that, the greatest vehicle that we have, is the Ein Mayim Al Torah, to be tovel ourselves mamish completely in the world of Torah. If we make that commitment, we can be Mesameach properly on the Yontif of Sukkis. We can culminate our Simcha on the Yontif of Simcha Shmei Atzeres Simchas Torah, and we can come right back again to Yeshiva to really celebrate for the rest of the year, to really, really immerse ourselves into everything that we will accomplish in the Hashem over the next couple of days. Everybody, Master Kerben and the Junta, everything right. Bellows on the Hashem is going to speak tomorrow, so we'll 10 o'clock is going to be the show tomorrow. Okay, good.